You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Get your rifles sighted in before the hunting season starts, starting at today 9 until 4 at the Hayward Rod and Gun Club, located at 14261 County Road B here in Hayward. Volunteers with the Hayward Rod and Gun Club will help you sight your gun in for the hunting season for your gift of $8 per gun. Again, rifle sight-in happening at the Hayward Rod and Gun Club from 9 until 4 today and the remainder of the week. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at 10 o'clock. This is located at the Spider Lake Church Youth Center here in Hayward, located at 11255 Highway 77, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of canned goods, meats, and produce available, and everyone's encouraged to get food from this program, regardless of your financial situation. Tech support is opening up today at the Forest Lodge Library. You might want to check out the location of that, starting at 10 o'clock until 3, only because the Forest Lodge is under construction. Give Eric a call for an appointment or questions, 715-204-7501, 715-204-7501 for free tech support from Eric at the Forest Lodge Library located in Cable from 10 until 3 today. There's some free caricatures drawings happening at Coop's Pizza this evening, starting at 4:30 until 7:30. Get your free black and white caricature done by Rachel at the Coop's Pizza, again, from 4:30 till 7:30 today. Coop's is located at 10588 California Avenue in Hayward. A Wednesday night supper is being offered by the First Lutheran Church, located at 10680 Main Street here in Hayward, from 5 until 6 this evening. Drive up to the front doors and someone will greet you and give you the number of meals that are needed. A free will donation will be accepted, but not required. For more information, you can call 715-634-2141. Again, 715-634-2141. And this is for the Wednesday night supper happening at the First Lutheran Church here in Hayward from 5 until 6. A community dinner is being offered at the Lacouture Reservation out at the LCO Ojibwe School from 5:30 until 6:30. It'll be happening in the LCO School cafeteria, with the ongoing nutritional benefits being restricted to strengthen their resolve in honoring the school mission in our 50 years of operation. The LCO school staff would like to invite the community members facing food insecurities to a community dinner. Again, this meal is going to be served from 5:30 till 6:30, and it includes turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes, cranberries, and dessert. No carryouts this time. Community dinner, again, offered by the Lacouture Ojibwe School District in the LCO School cafeteria. The 14th annual Soiree shopping event at the Steak and Lodge will happen at 5:30 tonight until 8:30. This will be at the Steakhouse and Lodge, located at 15860 T-Bone Lane here in Hayward. Join them for their annual shopping events. Support local businesses in our community and find some amazing products and gifts. Plus, you can enjoy complimentary appetizers and a cash bar. It is only a $5 admission, and please bring a non-perishable food item to support the local food shelves. They have lots of great door prizes and giveaways throughout the night. For more information, you can call the Steakhouse at 715-558 415-558-4559. That's 715-558-4559. And again, this is for the 14th annual Soiree Shopping Event at the Steakhouse and Lodge, starting at 5:30 this evening until 8:30. On Thursday morning, Engaged Knitting at the Library starts at 10 o'clock. This will be held at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library, located at 10788 Highway 2777 here in Hayward. Join the fun whether you are a beginner or experienced knitter, or maybe you prefer a different craft and would just like the camaraderie. For more information, call 715-634-2161. That's 715-634-2161. Again, for Engaged Knitting at the Hayward Library from 10 until noon on Thursday. A Thanksgiving Elders Feast is going to be presented on Thursday the 20th from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. out at the Lacoutere Ojibwe University James Pipe Mustache Auditorium. If you're 55 and older, you are considered an elder in the LCO community, and you're invited to attend this Elders Feast, again being held at the LCO Ojibwe University Auditorium from 10 until 1 on Thursday the 20th. Come on out and enjoy and be thankful. The Great Gatsby Turns 100 movie showing will be at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library Thursday from 1 until 3:30. For more information, you can call the library, 715-634-2161. Again, The Great Gatsby Turns 100, and they'll be showing the movie at the Hayward Library. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the front porch, Joel and Gray. Good morning, Hayward. Good morning, Greg Gunderson.
Good morning, Joel Karnick.
Well, we are experiencing some nice weather here, 40, 45 degree temps ahead of the deer hunting opener on Saturday. Looks to be a wimpy opener on Saturday. Temperature's probably 30 or so.
Yeah. I mean, if you get even just a gentle coating of snow on the ground, if it lasts for any length of time, it makes a huge difference. I don't think they're calling for any precipitation, but...
Doesn't look like it.
Even just a dusting, hopefully things change by then enough. But yeah, looking like it might be a comfortable sit and not in a good way.
Yeah. So I want to put a quick plug in. Deer Hunters Roundup Show is going to be on Muskie 101 on 101.1. And that'll be on every night of the 9-day gun deer season, with the exception of Thanksgiving Day. It is a live call-in show that will be broadcast on Muskie 101 and 98Q in Park Falls, taking live phone calls from you guys, hunters, right here in the Hayward area. You can come live on the air and tell us a good, clean joke and share whatever stories you want.
I'm looking forward to... Well, I'm afraid I'm actually not going to be there that day. The one day I'm personally going to miss of the roundup is the day that Sausage is going to be here.
Oh, okay.
So it's honestly, I sit there and I wait for the names. I wait for camp names. I wait for hunter call signs, because that is the little nugget of gold buried in every phone call for me. And then the people are fantastic. I love everything about the roundup. But for me, I'm sitting there thinking, all right, what name we got next?
Yeah, just whether you're a hunter or not, tune in 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Muskie 101.1 each night of the gun deer season, with the exception of Thanksgiving Day. I guarantee you'll chuckle a couple of times. You'll get to hear that guy, Gray, and myself, Joel, will be co-hosting the show most nights.
Extremely easy to tune in with the Civic Media app, too. That might be one of the finest times ever to use that. If you're a regular WBZH listener, pop over even just for that. Even if you're not a country music person, don't worry. It's still for you.
Today I wanted to touch on something that I am not good at all. And as we sit here on the front porch in front of the beautiful palatial estates of WBZH, Buzz of the North, I think to myself, what would life be like if I were a better handyman? The word handyman right there, when you say that word to someone, almost immediately that person has another person that pops into their head. They're just like, oh, I have an uncle. I have an uncle Bert who passed away years ago. When I think of a handyman, I think of him.
It's because my dad.
Because when something happened, you just go to them, and they'll have if they don't know how to do it, they'll have a logical way of getting to the solution.
Right. For me, it's my dad. My dad is a machinist by trade, and so he was just always kind of minded that way as an adult. But it started way earlier than that because he grew up on a farm, a mink farm in particular out there. Where he grew up, which is where I grew up, basically.
Uh-huh.
So they fixed everything. It was dad and five sisters and grandma and grandpa. And grandpa actually passed away when my dad was, I think, in his 20s, his early 20s. And so for about from 20 to 25, dad had to take a huge hand in running. They had a mink farm. They had a couple other animals. And they also had a bait shop that they trapped the minnows themselves in the wild and sold them to fishermen. So there was a lot of work to be done.
A lot of problem solving, a lot of
this is broke,
that's broke.
Any farmer knows. It's different from crop farming in a lot of ways, but the need to know how is exactly the same.
Yeah, and I get the joy of it because this past weekend, I fixed my garage door. I put a new spring on my garage door. I am not a handyman. But I had done it before on the other garage door, so I kind of knew what I was doing. And there was a sense of accomplishment when that was done. And I hit the button, and it went up, and it went down, and it worked perfectly. I thought to myself, this is the joy of a handyman every day they exist.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That's I get very small doses of it because some of it's rubbed off from dad. But he's, like I said, he's a machinist, so the level of technical knowledge and terminology is just... He's steeped in it all of his life. I've gotten secondhand doses. I was not into a lot of the stuff he was into growing up, like hunting and stuff was not my thing back then. But I've started to get into that as I've gotten older, and so I've spent a lot more time with him than maybe I've kind of spent the time with him that I would have as a kid and learned all this stuff.
Sure.
So I'm kind of behind. But like this door. When I got here, started working here a couple years ago, and that door was hanging crooked on the studio.
It wouldn't shut right.
Oh, it bothered me. It bothered me so much. I was like, I know. And finally, after day three of it turned into I'm doing it. Yep. Initiative and know-how are two very different things, and usually I've got more of one than the other and never both.
Yeah.
But that one, I was like, I'm doing it. And I grabbed some cardboard boxes, and I used them to hold the door up at just the right height, and I sunk some real screws into that door. It's never going to hang crooked again on my watch.
I think a good handyman is the equivalent, to me, has the same brain paths as an engineer does. Because as an engineer, you're always problem solving. You're thinking, you're doing stuff. You probably get paid a lot more than an everyday handyman, maybe around the Hayward and Spooner area. But I think it's that same mindset. It's that joy and problem solving and just analyzing, just looking at something and creating the tunnel under New York City that an engineer would do. But doing this with someone's back screen door or whatever it may be, whatever the handyman job is.
For me, I'm in a sweet spot. You know, I'm just in this space where I can do that. You know, I can rehang a door because at the end of the day, it's remounting 9 screws. You know, it wasn't that bad. I just needed to make sure that the door was level. But like that gives me just enough confidence to ask some scary questions. Like I look at my house and I'm thinking, I wonder if I could reframe a window. And the answer to that is like alarm bells glaring. No, you're going to break your house. And still I sit there and I think, I wonder what YouTube, how long is the YouTube video for replacing a window?
I think for a good handyman, there's maybe no fear of failure might be a stretch, but there's that knowledge that no matter what happens, no matter what disasters happen, I can figure it out, or I know a guy who can come in and help me figure it out.
Yeah.
They have that capacity to just not be fearful of taking the window out and just like, oh my, it's going to be 25 tonight. What am I going to do now?
Post Malone knows what's up. Have a guy for that.
Yeah, exactly. We're on the front porch here on a Wednesday morning, Joel and Gray, and we've got more coming up, talking some Hayward stuff and some up north stuff here on the way here on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. It's 729. Back we are, Hayward, on the front porch. Cup of coffee, steaming hot, Joel and Gray. Morning again, Gray.
Good morning.
We're going to delve into a food analyzation of Thanksgiving that has never been done in northern Wisconsin. We're going to break this down. We are going to all be extremely sick of this topic by the time I'm done with it. All right. So day one of our Thanksgiving food analysis, because you got to start. I mean, if you're hosting Thanksgiving, Gray, you got to start now. You got to get that turkey because you got to make sure that thing is thawed out and ready to go. So the process, if you are making Thanksgiving Day meal, the process, I'm sure, has started for you. And if it hasn't, you better get going.
Probably so. Yeah. Also, look up a thawing tray. If you're in trouble, look up a thawing tray. And there are even some improvised solutions. Basically, there are ways to do it way faster. And they cost like 20 or 30 bucks, those trays. But it's kind of neat. It takes hours less, not days less, hours less. Mm-hmm. But it may save your skin if you're just remembering this now.
Yeah. I mean, you can cook a frozen turkey,
but
it's not good and it takes a long time. It's not going to end well.
That was a horrifying noise. But the feeling that gave in my heart was like, Joel, don't say it. Somebody's going to get botulism.
As soon as I heard that the other day, I think it was on a civic story we did, saying, yes, you can cook a frozen turkey. Immediately, my mind went to Christmas Vacation when they pop the turkey and it goes poof, and
yeah,
just, it goes into dust. That's what I think of when I think of putting a frozen turkey in an oven for 2 days.
Well, like, that's the thing. In an oven, you can kind of get the job done if you go low and slow, but even that you're not supposed to do. And you never, ever, ever, ever put a partially frozen or even a too wet bird in oil if you're doing the deep fry method.
Oh yeah.
That's how you burn your house down. You got to watch out for that one. So we have given you no advice, but do take this as a sign of the quality of people we are.
But I think if you're hosting Thanksgiving, the meat is the first thing you talk about, right? All right. That's always the first thing. When someone says they're hosting Thanksgiving and you have a discussion with your significant other about it, you don't say, oh, what kind of cranberries are we having? No, it's always, that was me impersonating me, by the way. The number one discussion is, okay, what are we doing? Are we doing a turkey? Are we doing a chicken? Are we doing a ham? Are we doing a turducken? What are we doing here?
I don't think I've ever done chicken. Turkey and ham, absolutely. And, like, depends which side of the family. We usually did ham, I think, or both. I think we might have done both. My grandmother was insane in the best way. Delicious.
I think typically if it's a large family, you'll find both. You'll find yeah. both in there because you just got people who don't like. You know, if you get 20 people at a table, chances are there's one that probably doesn't like the ham or the turkey, so you want to make it a good experience for everybody.
And the grandmother in question, in my case, was the matron of that farm family that I mentioned before with six kids.
Yeah.
So she was the cook, like, she, you know, the old school homemaker as a vocation kind of thing. She ran that household all day. I mean, and that included mowing the lawn and shoveling out the mink pens. You know, she did everything on top of cooking a darn good meal. Oh, and the hunting season meals were special.
Okay, so a tip for those of you hosting Thanksgiving, okay? So if you're hosting Thanksgiving and it's just you and your small family, maybe 2 to 4 people, and you've agreed upon something in the menu, that's fine. That's fine. You can do what you want, whatever you want to do. But if you're hosting a Thanksgiving of 10 to 15 people and you're putting on a spread, don't jump off the edge of a cliff when it comes to meat, okay? Don't overthink this. Don't. What I'm saying is don't go lasagna. All right. Don't go meatloaf.
Are you going lasagna right now? What does that phrase even mean?
No, because I had a Thanksgiving many years ago, and the food was good. Don't get me wrong. And the nice people, good family. But we showed up, and it was lasagna and it was mincemeat pie for dessert, and it was very unique. It was kind of cool. But it's kind of like walking into a restaurant saying, I'm having a fish fry. You've been thinking about it all day. I'm having a fish fry tonight. Oh, this is going to be good. And then you walk in and they say, I'm sorry, we're out of fish. There's going to be no fish fry tonight. You're like, well, I'm sure the rest of the food is really good, but where's my fish fry?
Have you ever seen the movie Without a Paddle?
No.
That's three guys end up going on a camping trip that their buddy who just passed away had all planned out that they were going to go on together. So like to remember him, they go on this trip. But they've grown up since they were all friends, and one's a doctor and the other one's a burnout and the other one is kind of a normal guy. And like the doctor is the one who packed all the food and he told his buddies don't even worry about it, and they're thinking about all the beer and the jerky and stuff.
Sure.
And he packed all of this, like, jelly-based space food. And, like, the other two guys find this out as things have already started to go wrong. So, like, the tension is rising, and then they find out that there's nothing good at all to eat anyway. And, like,
there's food, but it's not
what they... It's like Jell-O from hell, basically. Like I picture head cheese immediately. Sorry if you're into it. I don't judge you, but I kind of do. But no, same vibe. Just there's no, lasagna. I mean, I do lasagna. My other grandmother did great lasagna, so that would be nostalgic. Otherwise, I might be upset.
Let me just say this. If you're eating head cheese, get ready to be judged, all right? If you're eating head cheese intentionally and announcing it, you're doing it because you want people to know you're eating head cheese.
Yeah.
My dad did that. My dad would eat salmon. He'd roll the can and eat salmon right out of the rolled can, and he would do the head cheese, and he did it just to gross out us four kids. That's the only reason he did it. I don't think he liked it.
Pickled herring for my dad.
Pickled herring?
He seems like he might actually like it, and I kind of believe that he does, but I also refuse to on a fundamental level accept that. And also, my better half, same thing. They gang up on me, and it's the only thing they gang up on me on at all.
Everybody has that relative, I think, that that dislikes the weird food. It's cool.
It's going to be my wife one day. I'm going to be married to that relative, is Aunt Pickled Herring. Rachel, so, please.
Hayward area, as you prepare Thanksgiving, if you are hosting, all right, the tip from Joel, maybe Gray too, but just Joel, is keep the meat simple, all right? Turkey, ham. If you want to go crazy, do it the sides, not the main meat.
I've got a simple tip. You know those chairs from Austin Powers that tip backwards into pits of lava and things? That's my tip. Install those. Take control of the Thanksgiving table conversation. Leave nothing to chance. Get a big red button today. I don't know what company. That's not an ad, but you find out.
All I asked were sharks with lasers. That's all I asked for. Get those too. That'll make for a nice day.
We have sea bass.
We will talk more about. We're going to overanalyze. I'm going to overanalyze Thanksgiving food here on the local segments here. Hayward, good morning to you on this Wednesday morning. Pat Kreitlow coming back in here in just a moment on the Buzz of the North, 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. I'm talking with Matthew Lean of Lean Law Offices here in the Hayward Lakes area. And Matthew, I had a question about debt collectors. Now, a lot of us get these offers to check our credit records. We can check our credit record at least once a year for free from all the reporting agencies, but what happens if we find something on our credit record that we don't really believe that was there? We got to dispute this. How does this happen?
So I think let's talk about where I'm coming from and where I'm going.
Okay.
So the first part is a lot of times debts are bought and sold in America. So let's say Matt Lean runs up an account with Bank of America for 20 grand. He doesn't pay it. That account is likely going to be sold to a debt buyer. Debt buyers are like Portfolio Recovery Associates, Midland Credit Management, et cetera. Everybody's heard of these people. Huh. If you go up to the Sawyer County Clerk of Courts, you probably see 80% of the small claims filings are from those type of entities.
Okay.
You can see them a mile away. So anyways, then what they'll do is they will send what are called dunning letters, collection letters to consumers.
Yeah.
And if they can't collect that, then what they're going to do is they're going to put it on consumers' credit reports. And then you do have options to dispute that. One, when you get the Dunning letter, you can send to the debt collector. It says, give me all the proof that you have that this is my debt.
Yeah.
Then they can't collect until you send that proof. Number two, if you see a debt on your credit report, you have a couple of different laws that come into play. One is the Fair Credit Reporting Act, or the FCRA, or the FDCPA, the Fair Debt Collections Practice Act.
Okay.
Under the FCRA, what you do, it's very simple. You take a note, you put your name, you put your Social Security number on there, you put the account information that you're disputing, you send it to a preordained address that the credit reporting bureaus have. You have to send it to that address.
Oh, yeah.
And what I would recommend you do, Mark, is you send that dog certified mail. You know it got there.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And then what the credit reporting bureau is supposed to do is they're supposed to send that note through a portal to what's called a furnisher. That's either the debt collector or the original creditor, like Synchrony Bank or Bank of America,
okay,
whoever. And then Bank of America is going to look at it and they're going to say, well, I agree or I disagree with this dispute. If I disagree, they can say, nope, credit reporting bureau, leave it as is. If they agree with the dispute, they can amend accordingly.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And then you check your credit report. If it's fixed, great. If it's not, frankly, you can send more disputes if you want, or you can just call me and I'll help you.
Sure.
The second statute that you can use and the second way that you can dispute a credit account on your credit report is under the FDCPA. If you send this dispute directly to the debt collector under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, they have to mark the account as disputed. If, in fact, the debt collector doesn't mark the account as disputed, odds are they violated the FDCPA. Your remedies under the FDCPA are up to $1,000 plus attorney fees and costs plus whatever harm that they caused to you. Yeah. So if you disputed it, and the account wasn't marked as disputed, and you will go over down to Don Johnson to buy a car, but you get zinged for a higher interest rate or fees or whatever.
Right.
Because of this, those are actual damages.
Okay.
I've done that before. I know exactly what to do. The Fair Credit Reporting Act, let's say something goes haywire and the creditor doesn't mark the account like it should, you have a remedy under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. That's up to $1,000 actual damages, attorney fees and costs, plus the potential for putative damages on top of it as well. Yeah. There's some big sum.
Wow.
Well, these are real penalties. They have real teeth. Unfortunately, you know, 1 out of 1,000 lawyers know what to do.
So what if these debts aren't maybe a short-term loan or an unsecured loan? Maybe it's medical debt. Is there any difference between what's happening with the medical debt world since a lot of us are collecting that?
A couple of things there. One, you have a remedy. A lot of times the hospitals, they have agreements with these debt collectors, like Alliance Collection Agency.
Okay.
I think they're out of Marshfield. The hospitals will send it to Alliance Collections. They're subject to the FDCPA. So if you have a problem or you think they're doing something wrong, let me know.
Yeah.
If it's directly the hospital, there's potential for claims that I haven't tried out yet, but they do pop up. One thing to take into account when it comes to dealing with debt collectors is this. It's a very common problem. Let's say Mark Lundin has a debt for $10,000. Mark paid off the debt to debt collector one for $6,000 with the promise that if you paid the $6,000, that would satisfy the entire debt.
Yeah.
Great. You pay that $6,000. Problem is the net of that debt, the $4,000, often gets sold to debt collector number two, who then tries to collect the $4,000.
Yeah.
They're going to send Dunning letters, and they're going to put it on your credit report. If that happens, you call Matt, because, you know, that's probably worth north of $20,000 right out the gate.
Yeah, you don't think of debt collectors or buyers of debt. Who would want to buy a debt? But, you know, they're gambling that they can recover that debt, and that's their gamble, I guess.
You know what? The market value of those accounts, depending on whether you're a first-level debt buyer, a second-level debt buyer, a third, fourth, whatever.
Wow.
First-level debt, I think they pay, last I checked, it was about 14 cents per estimated collectible dollar. So, you know, they'll pay, you know what, 14 cents or $14,000 for $100,000 portfolio of debt.
All right, Matt, thank you for letting us know about the debt collection. How can someone get a hold of you if they have any questions?
Call Lean Law Offices in Hayward, Wisconsin. You'll find us on Google.
Okay, very good. Very simple and easy. I like it. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.